episode number 37, Doing Transitions Right with Sean Saveri. Here we go, Tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I'm so excited you're here. One of the most important things we have to talk about in ministry is how do we do transitions well? Meaning from elementary to high, junior high, high school to adulthood, how do we come up with strategic transitions to help our kids so they don't skip a beat when they go from one of our ministries to the next? How do we break down the silos? And today we're going to be talking about that. There's a movement towards looking at a birth to student ministries game plan instead of having silos in our kids and our youth ministries. This movement has been coined Gen Now Ministries. One of the most important aspects of Next Gen and Gen Now is how we transition our kids. And we want it to be smooth and we want it to be intentional. These transitions happens at a key point in a kid's life, and it's important that we strategically walk alongside our kids as they transition to the next stage and age. These transitions include when a child moves from children's ministry to youth ministry, when a student moves from youth ministry into adulthood. And today on the show, I'm excited. I have Sean Saveri on the podcast. Sean has been in various ministry roles, serving as a youth pastor and other pastoral roles in the church. Sean now serves the Oregon Ministry Network as the Gen Now leader focused on children and youth ministry and really raising up leaders. Sean's going to share some great insight on how to transition our kids and build a birth to adult game plan. Sean has three kids and lives in Albany, Oregon. You're not going to want to miss a single moment of today's podcast. Share it with all your friends. I hope you're ready for the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We'll jump in with Sean right after this.
Hey, ministry leader, have you ever done anything that people were confused by? I have, and that's what happened in relation to our name here at 1230 Media. We've heard the confusion every time that we've heard questions like, do you spell it out? Is it numbers? Is it letters? There's a colon in there, right? Is this a Bible verse? Is it a time of day? So, spoiler alert, we are changing our name. And here's why. It all started with the best intentions. My wife Katie and I originally wanted a name that described how our company and you do ministry. That it's not about the flash of graphics and video, it's about discipleship. So in Mark 12:30, Jesus summed up authentic ministry by saying it's when you love God and love people. Loving God and loving people is the definition of the Christian faith. It's how we walk out our faith. We couldn't have said it better, so we edited Mark 12:30 down to 1230 Media. We wanted to keep the main thing, that it was about discipleship and spiritual growth and salvation, more than just the flash of graphics and video. But as we grew, the name has been a challenge for those we serve. It's been a challenge for people like you. Well, we've heard you and we are changing our name, even though we always want to help see changed lives and it not just be about being flashy. Our brand new name will ultimately help everyone remember it and create a tighter focus on what we really do well. I know you're ready to know, but our team is not quite ready to reveal our name and our new branding yet. There's a ton of work to prepare for it to be a very clear, organized launch of our new brand. We are so excited to share it with you. That will be coming in the next few weeks. But thank you so much for letting me share this with you. School is back in session, and we would love to give you a fun mini movie from our kids' library. Absolutely free. It's at 1230kids.com/school. Just use the promo code SCHOOL at checkout to make the video completely free. Again, 1230kids.com/school, and just use the word SCHOOL in the promo code box to make the video completely free. In a matter of weeks, I'll be sending out a video announcing our brand new name and logo. It is incredible. You're going to love it. And you'll be excited to hear how all these changes will help you visually communicate the gospel to your community. I'll see you then.
Well, everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I've got a good friend on today, Sean Silveri from the Oregon Ministry Network, who's the Gen Now guy. What is that? What is a Gen Now guy?
Well, I think it's, first of all, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege and a joy to know you. I mean, let's be real. That's the joy there, is that I get to know you. But we basically, the idea behind Gen Now is that the generations, really all generations are right now. They're not next. There's no... like, and I understand, and I'm not poo-pooing on it or anything, but there's no just next generation waiting for Jesus to use them, waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill and empower them and equip them for mission. No, it's, we see from very little, like my kids ages 8, 5, and 2, from that age all the way through, that they're ready now to be partners in ministry with Jesus and what he's doing around the world. So yeah, that's what that means.
Good. It's good. Well, and you come from a youth pastor perspective and youth pastor background. So I think it's a great discussion of how we build a cohesive, intentional plan to move kids through from elementary to junior high, from junior high to high school, from high school into young adults. And so I'd love to dig into that conversation today. I love the idea of Gen Now. So that means that we're looking at our kids saying, you can do incredible things right now. You don't have to wait, because we always hear in the church, oh, you're the next generation and you know whatever, and we're going to let's hand off the baton now to go, how do we start pouring in? But what does that intentional transition look like? What are some good ideas? Let's start digging into that.
Yeah, I think... at first, it's a mentality. I'll never forget the time I was probably 15 years old, and one of our youth leaders came up to my dad, who was our executive pastor on staff at a church in San Diego. And
tough place to be on staff at a church.
Yeah, it was rough. It was just rough. We just suffered. It was intense. So I'm a beach bum by my nature and DNA. But the
I figured.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of sense that. And with the USC gear everywhere too.
Right.
Anyways, the youth leader said, you know, Pastor, Jesus is going to use Sean in great ways, you know, kind of thing. And my dad looked at him without skipping a beat. He said, he already is.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's kind of what birthed this idea for me. And then obviously once I got married, my wife too. That, you know, we need to shift first and foremost our mentality and our categorizations. We need to kind of shift them from the, okay, whenever I look at somebody who is 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, 28, whatever, that I don't say, oh, at some point in my heart and in my mind, at some point, you know, God's got great things for them. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
We're, you know, totally. We're a futuristic. We serve a futuristic God. However, this season is preparation for the next. And so I want to shift that to say, okay, how can I incorporate this younger generation right now? What does that look like with their unique gift mix and their abilities? Because every kid is different.
Yeah.
We know that. You know, whether they're a kid that is on the spectrum and has certain learning disabilities, to the kid who's the rock star guitarist and can sing and all that, and everybody in between. How can I want to look as an adult, as somebody who's older, and say, how can we speak into them right now? So it's a first mentality shift, I think.
Totally. But, so yeah. I think to do good transitions, mm-hmm. right? So the first step that has to happen, especially if you're in a multi-staff church, is how do kids pastors and youth pastors find a way to break down? What is the big wall between, and how do we find a way to break that down to work together?
Yeah. And, you know, outside of obviously when you have a lead pastor or somebody who is a direct report over those two ministries,
right,
who believes in that bridge, that's really helpful. But whether you do or don't, I think it needs to be initiated. For me, it was initiated by the youth pastor. I initiated it. Now, the kids' pastor can as well and should. It should be a mutual initiation. But I always wanted to have my face around children's ministry. So my wife and I served in preschool ministry. We would fill in. Yeah, we did. I wish we could have done it longer. We did it for 2 years, I think. And then our second was born, and then it got a little harder. And I went back to school, and
you started your own kids ministry.
Yeah, we did. yeah, we did. We've got three, and they're amazing. But so from the youth pastor perspective, and I don't know how many youth ministry people listen in on the podcast, for those who are children's ministry ministers, just giving opportunity, even if that youth pastor or youth leader says no. So I always had opportunity to come and do the devotional for kids men and in church. Now, obviously, if I was doing other things, I couldn't. But, you know, I would try and come. We did a pizza party twice a year. I think we did a pizza party for the fourth and fifth graders.
Awesome.
We call it 3-5.
So you get in front of them. Like they know who you were. They know the transition coming. Like when would you do the pizza party?
So we were strategic. We did, one was random. So it wasn't, I guess, very strategic, but the other one was, toward the kind of the end of the school year. Okay. Like in April ish, April, May. And then we did a sixth grade barbecue in June after graduation, June.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my wife and I, we have served also. Another thing is we served with VBS or on VBS teams and stuff. And so that was another way for us to do that. But that barbecue with that pizza party was cool. And
so what did you see happen? Like, what was the goal of those things? And how did you see that start to play out to Bennett? Like, what were, if that makes sense, like what were the benefits of that?
Yeah. So see the handoff be a little bit smoother. They got to know us. They knew who we were. They saw our faces, me and my wife. So I wasn't a stranger if they came into student ministry.
Yeah.
We did our best to have small group, junior high small group leaders interacting as well. They were all at the barbecue that we did. And then it was an opportunity for parents as well, the barbecue for parents to ask questions. And we want to give as much information as possible. It's like with children's ministry, you know, parents want to know everything. With my children, like I want to know all the things that are going on. And right. So, as much information as possible we can give out, we're going to give it out. And so that's what we did. And we try to do that as well, even at this network level of things. I try to do the same thing and even empowering parents. But, I think familiarity was huge. It just was a big benefit, for what we saw. So
what about continuity? So like the kids ministry, it's going to be different, but what about the continuity of, okay, how do we make it not feel like, okay, all of a sudden I was on Venus, now I'm in Mars. It's a different, whole different world. Like what are some of those ideas on how to bring continuity? So in a natural way, the one that comes to my mind, and I'm going to ask you, cause I want to hear what your thoughts are, but even in how they serve, could you imagine if a youth pastor was able to embrace kids that had already been trained in ministry and they were ready to come up to the next level? Like, what are some of those ways we can bring continuity?
Yeah. So we saw in our heyday, and I'm seeing it across our student ministries as well in our state.
Yeah.
Upwards of 30 teenagers serving in ministry. I would say 2/3 of them were serving in children's ministry. We're serving our children's pastor and her team.
Wow.
And so not only is there crossover and cross-pollinization, so, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 year olds are seeing 15, 16 and 17 year olds serving.
Yes.
But
yes.
They're also become familiar with who they are, especially if they're older kids. or about to go into junior high. So they see that senior in high school and like, oh man, I've seen you for a year now serving. So I think that helps with continuity. And I even, what my head went even to curriculum as well. And so I always knew what our children's ministry was teaching. Like I had some concept of it, especially our 45 in the way, what we called 45, fourth and fifth graders. And in the way that they structured. So we tried to bring, we wanted to always bring the scriptures, bring the word, and some worship and music filled, you know, atmosphere. We wanted it to be fun and enjoyable. So there's hang time, which is heavy in our children's ministry. You know, the first 15 minutes is games and fun. And so we would do some of that too.
That's great.
We try to just incorporate some of those things. It's going to be different. You know, this. We called them to, hey, okay, now we're teenagers. We're in high school. You're dealing with different, you're dealing with junior high and high school issues now. So
exactly. But, which your 4 and 5 year, your sixth grade ministries would be dealing with some of those similar issues.
Cause I think especially
really,
today.
Yeah. Today. I mean, like it's really dropped down in that perspective. And I think that's why having a real continuous plan where you guys have sat down and, you know, one of the things we were working on when I was a kids pastor and a youth pastor, we were working on, okay, what do we want to see in a kid's life when they're in kindergarten? What are some real, like, these are what we see them living out, what they're learning, or third grade, you know, what are the milestones that we want to see in a kid's life? Sixth grade, what are the milestones? Eighth grade, what are the milestones? Because you're all building upon each other. And I think it's a really good exercise to sit down as a team and saying, okay, here's our youth pastors, our children, what do we want to be teaching our kids? Like, you know, let's work together. So by the time they leave our ministries, we have an incredible disciple who has gotten serving, who's got the right teaching. You know, so what do you think?
Well, and, oh, I just remembered this too. Working hard to cross-pollinate.
Yes.
Cross-fertilization. So we did a thing we called the team breakaway, and it was youth and children's, and I initiated it, but obviously our children's pastor at the time, he and I were really good friends. Yeah. And then the person who took over for him, she and I still to this, she's on my team now for children's advisors. Wow. And so when I came into this role, the advisory roles of children's pastors and youth pastors were only together for a short period of time. That's not a knock on the previous. Right. We have great relationships.
Different way of thinking back then.
A different way of thinking. So I said, we're going to combine it the whole time. That's what we've done. We've combined it the whole time. We did that. So there was training that was taking place once a year. You could do it twice a year, where it's youth and children's workers and ministers and leaders together learning the same similar things, but then contextualizing it. So we would break off into groups. Okay, well, now with the kids team, you know, hey, how do we contextualize this? With the youth team, how do we contextualize this? So we would bring in, you know, names like, we brought in Jeffrey Portman, you know, some might know who he is. And this is 12 years ago. I don't know.
Right.
I guess way, comparatively, maybe, but
right.
You know, we brought in different people to do that. And it was just a great, and we had fun together. Like we played dodgeball.
Yep.
Some of our kids leaders still remember me trying to peg them with the dodgeball and some of our youth. I mean, it's so important. Like we are on the same team. So you have to fight against silos. When you talk about continuity, you got to fight against those silos. We are on the same team.
And so what are some tension points? What were some of the tension points that you had to work through? Because I know anytime that we start talking about that, there's some tension points that come up. What were some that you guys had to deal with and how did you work through them?
Well, youth pastors are just different birds. We just are. Yeah. And so I think
so are kids pastors.
Yeah, and kids pastors as well.
Yeah.
So the way I kind of think about it, I should say not always, but is children's pastors are extremely detail oriented. Not all of you, but you got to have some administrative something, whether you're doing it or somebody else is.
Yeah.
You can't just fly off the seat of the, you can't just do a willy nilly job on protecting kids. You just can't.
Yeah.
And you can't with youth either, but it's just different with children. You've got to have structure with the nursery to preschool, all that stuff. And so with that comes interesting personality differences.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And so that I found was one of the things that I just was fighting with, not fighting with, but I had to navigate that. Okay.
Right.
So our children's pastor, for many years, he and I together, he and I are good friends. He's extremely task oriented, he's extremely funny. He's absolutely hilarious. He's one of my best friends. He was my best man in my wedding. Okay. That shows you we're different. And, and so there's a lot of communication, a lot of open communication. When misunderstanding happens, a lot of grace and forgiveness. When there's some wrong that's done, a lot of grace and forgiveness and repentance. Right. And so I think it's just going back to those, the biblical concept of connection and community and vulnerability and love for one another. There's a reason why Jesus made that titanium rule of love one another the way that I've loved you.
Yes.
You know, sacrificial.
Totally. You know, and I think you bring up the fact of a lot of youth pastors, and this isn't a negative, but it is true. They kind of live by the seat of their pants. I mean,
it's so true.
Right? I mean, it's like they get an idea. And so like our tension points, because the youth pastor I worked with going back to my first church, I mean, we were great friends. I mean, like just like you said, great friends. But we come in on Sunday and half of our mics were missing. It's like, oh my gosh, like where? And come to find out, our youth pastor's like, I need a mic. So I just send them in, take your mics, and they were supposed to get them back. And I'm like, what the? I mean, like, seriously? Like, I'm like freaking out. Or they would go out on a Sunday event and take half of our staff and not even think about it. I'm like, dude, like, you got to think about these kind of things.
Right.
And I want to help you to fly by the seat of your pants, but you're sending us into a panic, you know? You do, like, you have to have this stuff in line. And so we had some good conversation on that and we worked through it. But like these times, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, but invariably, if you had a group of children's pastors in a room and a group of youth pastors in the room, they would be separate.
Yeah.
You have your youth pastors here, you have your kids pastors there. And it's like, how do we merge that? How do we bring that together? Right. And, you know, even with the difference in personalities and, you know, it's a challenge. So what are some of those ways? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but like, I know you mix those guys in rooms all the time. What do you see happening to build that relationship?
Yeah. So it's intentionality on the part of it. We'll say currently in my role and position on me and my wife and my advisory team. And so in advisory team meetings, for instance, in a small setting, I want to make sure that people are sitting next to the opposite. So if you're a children's pastor, you're sitting next to a youth pastor and so on and so forth. When we pray for one another, don't go pray for another children's pastor yet. You can, but not yet. Go grab the youth pastor. You have no idea who that youth pastor is.
Yeah.
Ask them their name, ask them who they are. So we just did this. We did a thing called our Fusion Conference.
Yeah.
Your team was there too. Yeah. Your youth people were there. And one of the things we did on one of the evenings is I stepped up and I just led it from the front. And I said, go to somebody you do not know from a different church and you don't know who they are. And this is youth and children's minister. So it's children's teams, it's youth teams, it's lead children's pastors, lead youth pastors. And some young adult pastors as well. Go and you don't know them, ask them who they are, ask them where they're from, get to know them a little bit, and then pray over one another.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, bro, it would take like 3 minutes, maybe five. And man, I about 10 minutes later, I stepped in and I had to stop it. Well, that's intentional. Like, hey, it's, you know, relearning, like unlearning some things and relearning what it means to connect. And so if you're in small groups, if you're in a small group setting, just in any way, maybe your podcast listeners can be the ones to really drive this, but being intentional to say, I'm going to sit next to somebody different for at least one of those sessions or, you know, if we're all together at a conference or if you're a regional lunch or something, I'm intentionally sitting next to somebody who is not a children's ministry worker or minister or youth ministry worker or whatever. So
I love it.
Well,
And I think you said it, and it's so important. We're all on the same team, right? Yeah. It's not the kids team. And then there's the youth team. And then there's, I mean, like we're all on the same team. So how do we run each other the ball? How do we help to facilitate that? And I think also we have to be thinking, how can I help my youth pastor do his job better? How can I help the youth pastor think, like, how do I help my kids person do their job better? Like, I don't want to go in the room and sabotage them for Sunday. You know, I mean, that's not going to play out well, right? And so, like, how do we work together to make each other's jobs easier? And I mean, ministry is tough enough, right? And so when you're looking at that, how do we help and how do we share resources and how do we make sure that, you know, that the silos are broken down? What I know, like you said, working together, but like, how do we tear silos down?
I had thought about this a while ago and then I got excited and got on a tangent. I'm a youth
pastor, right? Squirrel.
Sure, exactly. So one of the things I would do is, so I saw our children's pastors and our children's ministry teams, their differences, which sometimes I'm like, that's just weird. I don't understand it. That's fine. I'm weird too. But I see it as strengths as well. So they would very much help me and initiate forms for signups and things like that for our youth. And so, and for our youth leaders. So VBS was coming up, a camp was coming up, or a convention or volunteers needed for different events and things like that. Andrea and Dustin, both of them would make a signup sheet or a flyer or something that we could pass out. And they would say, can I have a 5-minute window? And I would always give them a window on occasion. So our current children's pastor right now, she can straight sling the sauce. She's a theologian. She's not playing games. You know, they are biblically rooted, you know, children's pastors. And I know there's a ton of those who are listening in on this. And so I commend you for that. It's not babysitting, right? We're not babysitting here. It's not childcare.
I think that's a good point to make sure even youth pastors understand. It's not just because I think there's a perspective of, and you can tell me I'm wrong, but youth pastors are like, we're doing the real ministry. The kids pastors are the ones that are just babysitting.
No, it is. I think that mentality is shifting. Thank Jesus. Yeah. Partly because of the way that we're seeing a lot of restructure where you have pastors who maybe are children's ministry focused, but are doing both youth and children. Our children's pastor, Dustin, my best bud, he shifted into that role. He was a children's pastor, but was doing junior high and helping out before he came to our church.
Okay.
So some of that's changing, but you're right. And giving opportunity, you know, and if you're a Kidman minister, don't be afraid to ask for the mic with your youth pastor and your lead pastor. Now, if you're gift mix, recognize that. Like, if you're like, there's no way I want to teach adults. There's no way I want to talk to teenagers. I get that. I understand. But at least push say, hey, can I just have 5 minutes every few months?
Yeah.
Now, Andrea and I and Dustin as well, and our, like, we would team teach subject matter together to the students. There was times where I would have them take the whole thing and teach so that our youth now see our children's pastor. And then inevitably they would serve and they would love on kids.
So good.
Break silos.
Well, and it's interesting. Here's another interesting thing I think happens in church ministry is lead pastors have mostly been youth pastors.
Yeah.
You'll find a lot of children's pastors that have moved up, right? So they're automatically connected to their youth pastor that they hire because they're like, you're one of us. And so the kids ministry, the kids pastor feels left out. How does the kids pastor break down that wall?
I think, part of it is knowing yourself as a kids pastor or children's pastor. Know who you are in Christ. Are you a good teacher communicator? Are you somebody who's really great with characters,
right?
And really creative with the arts and what is your contribution to the kingdom in that sense?
Yeah.
And so obviously I'm limited to my experience, but from my perspective, I really pushed hard on our lead pastors to include our children's pastor in teaching team and things like that on Sunday, like in the creative elements. How do we animate and illustrate stuff? Like our children's pastors are extremely creative.
Yes.
That I've ran into, just extremely creative. And making complex issues easier to understand. And so I think it's a team effort there. I think it's being assertive for kids' passion. Don't be afraid. I would not be afraid or hesitant as a children's pastor to say to your lead pastor with respect and honor, "Hey, pastor, is it okay if I pull together a creative team once a month or once every other month? I would like for you to be a part of it." Because guess what? You kids' pastors are incredible with organizing.
Yes.
So pull together and think, who would you want on that team? Would you want the youth pastor on that team? Maybe a worship arts person, whether they're volunteer, whatever. Who are some volunteers? And do a lunch and say, how can we make Sunday morning even better? What are our series? And you know, even helping the lead pastor out with if maybe you serve a lead pastor who was a youth pastor who, you know, is like, "Oh yeah, I'm speaking this Sunday. Right? What am I going to talk about?" Right?
Like, yeah, yes.
Help your lead pastor with like, "Hey, can I have some input into?" So now they may deny you, they may, you know, shoot you down, whatever. But being assertive, I would not shy away from that. Taking initiative,
totally. I think that's the key. Finding the needs that maybe you can help your lead pastor.
Yep.
I've always said this, make it so they can't live without you. Like that's part of it. Like if they can live without you, then you've not done your job. So make it so, because you're not just a kids pastor, you're part of the bigger team. And so if you sit back and you don't feel like you can be assertive or you don't feel like you can step out, that's probably going to be the position that you get stuck in. And so, you know, in the perspective of your lead pastor going like, "Hey, maybe they don't want to get involved," like who knows? But like, mm-hmm. if you don't feel like you have a seat at the table, I would go and start to make that seat at the table, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the same for any staff member. Like you've got to make it so they can't live without you and find those needs that you can fill. Like, and your pastor might say, "No, I got it covered." Then keep moving. Don't take that as a cut, or don't take that as like, don't take it personal. Like just keep moving and find a way to serve them and find a way. And, you know, part of it might be that you've got to update your pastor on what's going on, because typically they're not going to know if you don't tell them. Like I would sit down with your pastor and go, "Okay, here's the 5 wins that we've had this week." Like, and really dig in and staff meeting. Don't just be quiet. Like get up and share your wins. Like let people know what's going on back there.
Right. You know, I was going to say that too, and I forgot. So thank you for my youth pastor. Thank you for reminding me. I do it even now. I don't nail it 10 out of 10, but every Sunday night I send an email to my boss. And so I used to do a thing also called the six and six. I learned it from Bill Hybels, but here's 6 major things that I'm trying to see through over the next 6 weeks, just keeping him up to date. Keep it pithy. Don't need to, I'm not going to write a book, but here are some things that have happened. Here's some wins. And inevitably what would happen is my pastor would share some of those things in staff meeting or even on a Sunday morning.
Educate them and keep it in bullet points. Like bullet points are the way to go. If you're writing a book, they're not going to read it. They don't have time. And so, you know, be thinking of that. And I think it's always like, how do I help my lead pastor not drain from my lead pastor? Because they've got like, listen, there's so much on the lead pastor's plate that, I mean, you know, and from being one now, like we have, like that could be a whole conversation in and of itself, right? When you're actually in the pastor's seat, it's a whole different ball game than, so make his or her job easy. Like, you know.
Sorry, I interrupted because you got me excited again. The idea here is as well is, what are some good things you can point out on a regular basis?
Yes.
There's always something good. Some of you might be listening. You're like, "I absolutely loathe my lead pastor." And this is a season of testing and trial. all of that. I've been there. My yes. dad was my lead pastor at one point, and I loathed that. Anyway,
so what? We'll make sure this gets sent to him.
Yeah, exactly. He'll love it. You know, there's always something that you can say kind about that you say this out of kindness, encourage him. So I'll give you an example. Even now, so our lead pastor of our church, whom you know and you're friends with,
yep.
Jason, he was my direct report for five, six years. And we did a succession in our church and he became our lead pastor. Now, obviously I'm not on staff anymore. However, even in this seat, I know that anytime me and my wife are sitting on Sunday morning in our home church, because we travel a lot. So we try to be home at our home church twice a month. I know anytime me and my wife are there, it is a win for him.
Yes.
And so I always say something kind and encouraging to him whenever I see him on a Sunday, because I know the emails that are potentially going to be coming in, especially we're in this really tough series right now.
Yeah, I saw that series. I'm like, wow. Creed.
Really tough.
Yeah.
And they are tackling some tough issues. And yeah. so public praise every chance I get. And like you said, educate as well. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, encourage. Like, they have a tough job.
Yeah.
They've got a tough job. Your pastor has a tough job. And like, man, the more you can encourage, you know, and here's the other thing about lead pastors, right? You got to make sure the timing's right. Like, the timing is everything, right?
Yes. Absolutely. It's so true. It's so true. My lead pastor, well, my first lead pastor and then my dad, who was my second lead pastor, both of them, I tried not to give them surprises.
Oh, yeah.
To surprise them. Yes. Much.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
My lead pastor.
I had a couple times. Good. Yeah.
My lead pastor, like,
well, you would, yeah. And you've probably carried that on as well. Well, as a children's pastor though, too, like, you don't miss, I mean, you're ready to roll with those things. So you right. get it. Like, you roll with the punches really well. And lead pastors do as well, but you knew you didn't want the surprise of, oh, hey, by the way, Johnny, we left him at the gas station. We were gassing up.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to tell you or say anything. I didn't want to. It's like, that's no, that's surprise.
That's a problem. And yeah. I mean, especially if the surprise you can't get back from, you can't get it fixed. You know, I mean, that's an issue.
Yes.
So true. Well, hey, we're getting ready to wrap up. We're right at the time. Do you have anything else you'd like to add today?
I guess for me, I would say this, as I travel, as I connect, especially with children's pastors, you know, I wasn't a children's pastor, but I love children's pastors and I've always served in children's ministry, for most of my, since I was a teenager. And, I would say, make sure you are Sabbathing.
Yes.
Kids pastor, make sure you are carving out time to Sabbath, not necessarily the day off, but a Sabbath.
Yes.
And you're getting refilled and refreshed and rejuvenating. You're hanging out with friends who fill you up, who just are a cold glass of water on a hot summer day.
That's good.
That you are enjoying the Creator. One of our youth pastors says this, and he's not the first to have said it, but it's a recreation over recreation, recreation with recreation. And yeah. So you're letting the joy of the Holy Spirit to pour over you and fill you. So
when you're tired, you don't do things well. Yeah. I mean, and it's harder to be intentional and harder to work it out. And, you know, I agree with you. Yeah. Well, why don't we pray? Will you pray for our leaders today? And man, yes. Thank you for being on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus, so much for Jason and just for all of those who have tuned in, who will tune in to this wonderful podcast. I just pray more than anything right now that they would be encouraged, that there would be a sense of peace that falls upon them that is beyond their understanding and that is beyond their ability to manufacture from within them their own selves and their own efforts. That performance would not be their drive, that production would not be their drive, that it would not be the numbers and the amount of recognition they get and the ambition, but it would simply be abiding in you, that their drive would be to be the person you've called them to be, to get as close to their rabbi as they can, that they would be able to hear your whispers, Holy Spirit, and may they be rejuvenated, may they be encouraged and uplifted, and their families as well, their churches, I pray, as well, would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you would move and pull them into the future and all that you have for them.
Thank you.
We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, so where do people find you? Where's the best way to find you?
So I'm on Instagram as the Sean Silveri. And then you can also check out our podcast. We do a podcast called Welcome to the Table. It's me and two youth pastors. We do interviews. We go through spiritual disciplines. We go through attributes of God. But we really focus in on those who are struggling with their faith and wanting how do we walk this out in the midst of our current cultural moment. And so fun time. It's called Welcome to the Table.
Okay.
Welcome to the Table podcast. You can go on Spotify. Yeah, Spotify, Apple, all of it. Yeah, it's everywhere. So awesome. Welcome to the table.
Thank you so much, Sean. God bless you. Yeah. Kidman leaders, thank you for listening today. Share this with your children's pastors and your youth pastors in your world. And until next time, we will see you on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Thanks again for being here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for being a part of the Kidman Tribe podcast. I hope that you got some great encouragement, some great tools and ideas on how we break those silos down and help transition our kids from one age in ministry to the next. Man, working with our youth pastors and kind of an all hands on deck approach is so important. Hey, do me a favor. If you love the Kidman Tribe podcast, will you go and subscribe wherever you watch it, YouTube, your favorite podcast platform. Give us thumbs up. Give us a good review. We would be so grateful. And that would help us out immensely. Hey, you can also, if you love the Kidman Tribe podcast, leave a comment or a review on your favorite podcast platform. You can also find us online at thekidmantribe.com. That's kidmantribe.com. We have bi-weekly release of blogs. So when we're not doing the podcast, we have the blogs you can read by some of the greatest kids ministry leaders. We also have a lot of Kidman Tribe swag that you want to get a hold of. Find us online. There's a mailbag there. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, your comments. We would so greatly appreciate it. Hey, in 2 weeks, you're not going to want to miss Brian Dollar. I have Brian Dollar on the show, one of my great friends. He's re-releasing his book, I Blew It, How to Really Overcome Failure in Ministry. He's the author of that book and has been in ministry for over 20 years. You're going to love it. You're going to love what Brian has to say. He's been a children's pastor and an executive pastor, and I'm super pumped to have him on. He's been in ministry for over 24 years. He's the founder of High Voltage Kids. High Voltage Kids create some of the best Kidman curriculum around. What I love about High Voltage is that it's kid tested and mother approved, Kidman leader approved. Brian's going to give us some great ideas on how to overcome when we blow it in ministry, how to keep moving forward, how to learn from those mistakes, and how to really turn those into victory. You're not going to want to miss it. That's in 2 weeks. Don't miss the Kidman Tribe podcast. Remember, you're loved. You're appreciated. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the hours that you put in as you're getting ready, especially for this fall, to launch into incredible harvest. Thank you so much for all you do. I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on always. You are my heroes. Go get them, Tribe. I'll catch you in 2 weeks here on the Kidman Tribe podcast. We'll see you then.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.